Money and markets. Market review. As I said, the U.S. dollar is now down around 91.30. And if it breaks that 92 line, you know, if it bounces back up, it's okay. But it's clearly in a downward trend. So I think there's a good chance we're going to get a break. And as I said, it's a very important and serious break if it stays broken through that line, if it really breaks down through that line. And again, what that means is imports are going to go up in price. So that's very inflationary on your expense budget. And at the same time, there's going to be more pressure to export food, export oil and gas. So those prices are going to go up as well. Fixed income, the long treasury is doing very well as a result of this breakdown. And so the TLT, the long-term ETF, government ETF, is trading at 10.4. The intermediate at 5%, the bond aggregate at 4%, chunk at 5.52%. Equities, the S&P now up 11.5% for the year. Home builders even doing better, certainly now with Houston and the potential for Florida, 13.6 for the year. The Europe outperforming equities this year significantly, the VGK European ETF now up 22.25% for the year. Germany up 21.77%. It was interesting. Blankfein also announced when he was over at the Frankfurt conference that they're planning on increasing their personnel there by 3 or 4 times, 300 or 400% increase, which will tell you which direction the flow is flowing in. You know, it's the Silk Road, and Germany's smack there between the rest of Europe and Asia and the Silk Road. You know, the neocons keep pushing this line that Europe is a catastrophe and falling apart. If Goldman Sachs is increasing their personnel in the Frankfurt office 300 to 400%, Europe's not going to fall apart. Developed markets minus North America are up 18.8%. China now up 27.24%. That very much reflects the falling dollar. Small cap China, 28.6%. And emerging markets, still the star, at almost 30%, 29.68%. Commodities now down 5% for the year. Gold flying back up, thank you, falling dollar, at 16.9%. And silver at 13.17%. Oil still in the doghouse, down 18%. So, of course, everybody's big question is, are we watching weather warfare unfold? In my opinion, yes. I think the U.S. government and the breakaway civilization both have technology to engineer influence weather patterns, including storms, whether it's hurricanes or tornadoes. And so I think they have the technology to weaken or strengthen hurricanes and steer them as well. Doesn't mean they have complete control. My guess is it's an art, not a science. But certainly what I think we're watching has definitely been contributed to the strength of the storm. And exactly where it hits is very much influenced by weather warfare. And what's interesting to me is, you know, when I first tried to warn people that weather warfare existed, it was hard for them to get their minds around and fathom. But the more they watch the patterns and how it's working, they realize, you know, this can't be natural. There's something very strange here. Anyway, what to watch for in situations like this. First of all, when the federal government announces an emergency, you turn the spigots on. So you, in things like the mortgage insurance funds and other programs in the government, suddenly you have the power in disasters to spend in extraordinary ways on very little transparency with very little accountability. So they turn the spigot on, and there's been a big appropriation in the debt ceiling increase for the hurricane areas. Big questions in my mind about where that money's really going and who's going to control it. As I said, not just very little transparency, but very little accountability. Expect to see major gentrification in the poor neighborhoods, particularly all the folks who moved over from Katrina to Houston. Expect them to be cleared out. We're going to see consolidation of land ownership. Some people are going to make a lot of money on this. Note, I posted and tweeted out, I think it was early this week or late last week, the land report of the 100 largest U.S. landowners shows that since 2008, they have almost doubled the acreage that they own. So you can really see from watching the list, the smart money is buying land. They're not, you know, I don't know all their holdings, but I think it's likely they're not buying a lot of cryptocurrencies. I think they're buying land. Watch exercises of warrants. We have the sheriffs saying in some of the affected counties that they're going to be at the hurricane shelters with checking everybody for whether they're outstanding warrants. Expect an effort to do gun control. We saw in Puerto Rico, some of the islands, the authorities saying that they were going to confiscate guns. So you're going to have a real social engineering and economic engineering incentive in here. Now, as I said, we were watching real indications of deflation, interestingly enough. What will come with this, we expect the auto industry, which was starting to really slow down, $1 to $2 million of demand for new autos. So those are not all going to be brand new, but that's going to create a significant demand for autos. Plus, of course, home building and repair, all of that very deflation fighting. This is very bad news for the insurance industry that's affected, especially since they're struggling with low interest rates. So I'm going to be looking to see what it does to the insurance industry. Most people do not have flood insurance, and those who do are insuring with the federal government. So it'll be very interesting to see what those ramifications are. And that's, as I said, that's going to hit the poor much, much harder, and working people much, much harder. I see this as all as the acceleration of the remaking of America, and there's a danger for all of us that this kind of disaster capitalism is coming to many, many areas. And as I said before, it's one of the reasons I like to live and travel light. So keep that in mind. When I settled the litigation, I purposely lived in a very remote, or bought a house in a very remote, low-cost area, and basically organized everything very, very modestly. I never made an effort to buy back all the furniture and paintings and everything I sold, because I basically live in a system where I don't trust the system to respect my property rights. Doesn't mean I'm not going to fight like crazy to protect them for you and me, but I've learned my lesson in terms of trusting the system. Please make sure that you pay attention to identity theft. We have a great interview with Bob Sullivan in the Solari Report on identity theft. He has a great book. It's a little bit out of date, but he brings it down to a few common sense things you really need to do. The reason I wanted to bring this up is twofold. Once when I was in Europe, and this happens a lot when I'm traveling abroad, I started to get fraudulent charges on my bank debit card, and lickety split, I have a great bank. They called me. They emailed me right away. They caught it right away. They had a funny feeling that I wasn't spending $400 at Paris Disneyland, which is where the charge popped up. So they caught it right away and shut it down right away. But it's because I have a very diligent bank. I have a very good relationship with them, and we watch, my bookkeeper watches the cards like crazy. So we check them every day, and even if it's a 10 cent, you know, we get a charge for 10 cents that's inappropriate, you know, we're on the phone to the powers that be at the credit card company. Now, why am I mentioning this? So one reason was the bank, that experience. And when times get tough and the economy goes down, this kind of skimming gets more and more and more prevalent. The reason I wanted to bring it up was Equifax has discovered a massive data breach. They discovered it on July 29th. We're just hearing about it. And between the time that it happened And now when we're hearing about it, you had three top executives at Equifax selling almost $2 million worth of personal stock. And if you look at the whole story, it's deeply ugly. One of the guys selling stock was the chief financial officer. So, and the fact that Equifax sat on this from July 29th until today means that, you know, all of that data potentially has been on the dark net being sold. So it's 143 million Americans, our social security numbers, everything. And it's particularly galling because there are many of us who would love nothing to do with those agencies. But basically, the whole system is now forcing us. I'm a person, I have my credit frozen. But the reality is if the companies I have it frozen with are basically allowing it to slip out the back door, you know, potentially there's a mess. Anyway, so I would definitely take the time, if you don't understand identity theft and how to protect yourself, I really recommend that interview with Bob Sullivan, or, you know, there are many resources on the web. Please watch your financial statements and accounts very carefully during this period, because I expect the problems to go up steadily. Okay, I wanted to mention a couple of commentaries up on the web. Who's your hero? I took the discussion of Charlottesville for Money and Market on August 17th, which I thought was very important, and put it up. It's available to the public, and I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to that, I would listen to it and feel free to send it around, because I think it's extremely important. There's a real beatdown on white men, and it's all part of the beatdown and the divide and conquer of stopping the 5 to 10% of the population who will take effective action, and we want to make sure we see that game, we don't fall into the trap. There's a great new column from Food for the Soul. This is a new column we've been doing. It's been going, we're doing two a month, and it's we've been going for 3 months now, and it's a review of Wolf Warrior 2, which is a new Chinese action movie that in the first month grossed almost $800 million. And you don't hear a lot about it, but it's taking the Chinese market by storm. And the interview is very, very interesting to sort of clue you in to what's happening in the movie industry in China, and the Asian markets, and sort of what it means to the whole industry. It's fascinating. So Food for the Soul, this is a column. I love it. I think it's fabulous. It's, again, it's twice a month, and it's really the cultural beat. So movies, theater, art, anything under the rubric of culture. And of course, we have the DOD and HUD missing money. We've updated it with a new report from Dr. Mark Skidmore. I'm a co-author with him, and he is going to be on the Saleri Report this month. We're coming on and talking about why this is so very important, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate his help. Anyway, so the DOD and HUD missing money is now updated again with a report, and his team of graduate students continue to plow. They're now plowing through the third agency. We'll see what we come up with.